that's right. We're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. It's 4:07. It must be time for Meet Me at the Diner. And my very special guest today, Dr. Dan Ball, president of Lander University. How are you doing today, Dan?
It's a Monday and I'm doing well.
Monday and the day is almost over.
Well, a little over half over, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I know there's a lot of things have been going on at Lander. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, but what do you think about the direction and what's happening with Lander right now?
Well, you know, Lander probably is as well positioned for the future as it has ever been, in my view. We're adding three or four new academic programs subject to approval by the state, which we think will happen this spring. One of those programs is called Emergency Management. Mm-hmm. We think we will have the only one in the state of South Carolina. It'll largely be online for people that are already place bound. We're proposing a master's degree in nursing. We're going to resurrect an old program that we mothballed about 10 years ago, and we're revising it. We found that...
What program is that?
It's called the Interdisciplinary Studies Program. We found that there are 1,300 former students of Lander in the last 15 years, that's about 100 a year, that are out working in our local community here within a radius of 100 miles or less, mm-hmm. that did not complete their degree.
Okay.
And that have completed over 75 hours of the 120 required, between 75 and 100 hours. They haven't completed their degree. We're going to try to recapture those guys and gals and let them finish up a degree. And so we've proposed resurrecting that old program to help these place-bound, non-traditional students complete their degree. They've had to leave for various reasons, you know, family reasons, health reasons, relocation reasons, whatever.
You know, some colleges out there, you see them advertised on TV, that are saying that the life experience that students have gotten out there, whether it's working in their own business, working in somebody else's business, are life experience that can help them get their degree and they'll give them credit. Is that something that you're looking at?
We always look at those kinds of things, yes. Experience is very valuable in terms of getting a degree. As a matter of fact, we're hoping that all of our students will have some sort of work experience, an internship, if you will, for all of our students before they graduate. That's our goal. We have several hundred doing that now. We hope to have all of our students experience that before they graduate. That's one of our goals.
Absolutely. But, you know, to recapture those students out there, they've already done some of these things that maybe you would need book learning if they were.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've gone to college, and both as a student, I've been a professor, I've been an administrator, I've been a fan, and I can tell you, if you work hard enough, and it's not that difficult. If you spend the time and commitment, and if you'll study 2 hours for every hour you're in class, you're going to make the dean's list. And I don't care if you're at Princeton or Lander, you're going to make a dean's list. And it's not that difficult. People make things more difficult than they really are. It's a life experience. Going to college is a life experience. It should not be a chore. It should not be a hurdle. It should be a life experience. If you approach it that way, if you're 18 years old or 48, if you approach it that way, you'll enjoy it.
Now, just out of curiosity, how in a proportion to young people, that 18 to 25 bracket, and those that are 45 and up bracket, what is the relationship there at Lander?
We have about 70% of our students are traditional, 18 to 24 years old. That percentage is going down. We're getting more and more students over 24. We're getting a few under 18. But more and more, the non-traditional adult is coming back to college. They've experienced the real world, so to speak. They see some deficiencies in their preparation background or their desire, and they come back to college. And we're trying to make that as painless and as barrier-free as possible.
Absolutely. Now, you know, I know that as far as Lander is concerned, across the whole spectrum of all the state schools, why should a student go to Lander? What is your focus as opposed to USC or Orangeburg State or any of these?
I had lunch today with a Lander student, a junior, and I asked him, did you look, what made you come to Lander? He said, I was accepted to College of Charleston at Winthrop, a couple other schools in Lander. And he said, I looked at three things. I looked at the program that I wanted to study, which was healthcare management. I looked at class size, and I looked at what engagements I could get involved with while I was on campus. And I think that that would be the stereotype for a lot of our kids. What do we have to offer? What academic programs? What kind of relationship do we have with the faculty? And is it a pleasant, safe learning environment? And I think we have all those. We have the same academic programs as most other schools: nursing, business, liberal arts, science, pre-med, pre-vet, pre-law, education. All those. Everybody has those that are comprehensive universities. Yeah. We are unique in that we started a lot of stuff in this state that we were the first to do. For example, we have the first and only Montessori teacher education program in the state of South Carolina. We had the first online RN to BSN degree in the state of South Carolina. We were the first campus to go smoke tobacco free both indoors and outdoors. First campus in the state of South Carolina to do that. We had the first genetics program of its kind in the state of South Carolina. We had the first environmental science program in the state of South Carolina. Now, all these other schools have gotten these programs.
Are you saying they copied you, Dan?
Well, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that we are a little bit entrepreneurial. We're going to take some chances and try some new things and have some new programs. And we're very proud of that. So if you want to come to an entrepreneurial campus, Lander might be a good place for you to start.
Absolutely. You know, it's a beautiful campus. I think one of the things, the size, it's a smaller school, so you don't have as many. And, of course, the classes. And I think you've always said that you just can't hide at Lander.
Well, that's, parents like to hear that for sure. Now, some students would prefer to hide, but most of them don't. Most of the kids want to be engaged. They want to be recognized. They want their thoughts and their ideas and their presence to be there, to mean something to other people besides themselves. You know, if you miss class, people notice that at Lander. Now, in a larger school, they probably don't, you know, they don't notice you're gone. When you're in a class of 400 and you're gone, nobody's going to miss you.
Sure.
But if you're in a class of 20,
they're going to miss you.
Somebody's going to miss you.
Absolutely.
And the professor might be one of those people that misses you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you've got your overseas program. We've got a new honors college that starts next year, of course, out there at Burton Center, the equestrian program. And, of course, you've got that fabulous center right across the street, the May Center there. What has been the effect of the May Center?
Well, I think it's a bonding venue for our community and our city and our university. We've had lots of positive events out there, lots of positive comments. The usage has been phenomenal for our community. I rarely go by there where I don't see folks walking on that walking track that's open to the public. We're fortunate enough to, we'll be having the Peach Belt Conference baseball tournament here next month.
Wow.
Early May. Mm-hmm. And that'll be 10 or 12 universities coming in here with 25 or 30 players and coaches, and then moms and dads and brothers and sisters and girlfriends and girlfriends will be coming, spending a few days in Greenwood,
sure.
eating and sleeping and doing those things. So it's economically been beneficial, in my view, for our community. It's certainly helped our baseball team. We are number two in the country as of this afternoon. We are ranked number two in the country in baseball. We've traditionally.
It's amazing what a field can do for you.
Well,
that's not exactly it, is it, Dan?
Well, that's part of it. It's certainly part of it. You don't recruit students to dilapidated facilities. Mm-hmm. You need to have a place for them to live and learn and play.
Sure.
And we have a great baseball coaching staff. Kermit Smith's just an outstanding individual and even a better coach. And we're just fortunate to have him and his family here in Greenwood. This is his third year, I believe. And he's gone. We've had a fairly decent baseball program, but it has really, really taken off these past 2 years. And I've watched them play, and they're tough.
They are tough.
There's a ball game tomorrow night, by the way. We're playing Erskine. And Erskine and Lander have traditionally been rivals. And the Erskine, by the way, has a great baseball coach and program. So it should be a good ball game.
And that is going to be
at the Jeff May Complex. I think it's sometime in the evening, 6 o'clock maybe, something like that.
So it'll be a good game to get out there and support
your team.
If the
weather holds, you all ought to be out there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's the good thing about having this great facility right here. And you also do the soccer there, too.
Well, we have 70% of our athletes are out there. We have soccer, men and women's, tennis, men and women's, baseball, and softball. And those sports comprise 70% of our athletes. Soccer, baseball are big teams. Basketball is small. Golf is small.
Sure.
Volleyball small. Those are, you know, not out there, obviously. You don't play golf out there.
Now, what about you're building something out there right now?
Right. That's the field house. That'll be the locker rooms, the dressing rooms for visiting and home teams that come. Right now, we're having to bus them back and forth to the campus to dress out. Take showers, et cetera, and we were unable to build that. Initially, we didn't have the funds to do that. Now we've been able to raise the funds to complete that project.
Where did the funds come from?
Well, a variety of sources. We borrowed money through a bond issuance.
Mm-hmm.
We had several donations. For example, the city of Greenwood gave us $1.5 million over a five-year period to help us with that project. We've had several private donations anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000 to $50,000 to $150,000.
That's pretty impressive.
And the students have taken upon themselves to assess themselves a part of their activity fee to help pay for that as well.
Wow, pretty impressive.
So it is.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Dan Ball from Lander University. He is the president. He is the top kahuna right here on WCRS this afternoon. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. We have Dr. Dan Ball I got him cornered right here in my studio. We're having a good time talking about what goes on in Lander. It's been a good while since we've had him on. And, of course, I love keeping up with what goes on at Lander. In fact, I love to talk about it. You know, one of the things that you were able to dedicate this year was the equestrian center there with the new enclosure. What has that meant for the equestrian program?
You know, there are really three parts to that program or that center. We have an equestrian team. As a matter of fact, we have two teams, Western riding team and an English hunt seat team. That's how it got started. It has expanded into an academic program, the therapeutic horsemanship academic minor, and a partnership with Burton Center using equine therapy for the consumers that are part of the Burton Center. Mm-hmm. It's been a great partnership. I'm going to get into the research of how horses and special needs people.
I think the bottom line is it helps stimulate how, particularly if they cannot walk, the movement that you have when you walk. Isn't that correct?
The movement of the horse does stimulate several things in a human, as I understand it. Not just physical, but even mental and emotional improvement in the consumers out there. And so that's the third component of it. The dedication of the arena, the covered arena, was in January. We've actually been in business out there about 3 years, but we did not have that arena cover. And then weather-related events caused lots of cancellations of classes and riding lessons, et cetera. And so the dedication of the roof, the arena, we call it the big top, has really improved the utility of that facility.
Sure. So really, when you drive out there and when you see it, it is a phenomenal. Now, you know, that, and that's a very interesting story, how that started. Didn't that start with some kids coming and saying they wanted it, but two, then you had a donation, didn't you, to
well,
put something together?
It's a long story. I don't know
the short one.
You want to hear the short story? I had five or six young students, Lander, come, wanted to start an equestrian team. They wanted $1,000. I gave it to them 10, 12 years ago. They came back a second year and wanted some more money, and I said no. And they said, that's not fair, Dr. Ball. You used us to promote this campus. You took our pictures and put them in magazines and blah, blah. I said, okay, how much you want? It's a couple thousand. I gave it to them. That article in Lander Magazine was seen by a former Lander graduate out in Florida who was on the equestrian team in the 1930s. She gave us over $200,000 to embellish that program. That's how it got started.
Right.
So somebody reading an article about something that happened, started by six students 10, 12 years ago.
And just think, if you hadn't given them that $2,000, where would you be today? You might not have that program.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. And so that's how things mushroom there. And we hope to, well, we're the only one in the state.
That makes you a very unique program. Now, how is that program growing?
Well, we have 30 students in the program. We have like 18 or so in the equestrian or therapeutic horsemanship program. All those students that ride horses take classes. They're full-time students.
Mm-hmm.
So there are 20 or so kids out there that wouldn't be there were it not for the equestrian effort.
Now, Dan, what is a student worth to the college? I mean, how does it work out economically versus one student equals what?
You can put a price tag on a student. I hate to do that, but I will just for you, Ann, since you're a good friend. We think that a student brings to the campus about $15,000.
Per year. Per year.
That's tuition, that's books, that's housing, food, everything, parking and all that.
All that.
So that's about $15,000. It's probably
A pretty big investment.
Well, sure, if you have 100 students, that's you do the math.
Right.
You know, our budget's about $45 million a year, operating budget.
And speaking of budget, so how does, is $45 million enough to do all the things you need to do at Lander?
No, but it never will be. If it was $90 million, we'd figure out a way to say that's not enough. But
sounds just like education or any of these other things where we can spend money.
I will tell you that the value for the money that is spent, I think the value is as good as any place in the country. Now, you know, there are schools in this in this country that have valet parking for their students. You know,
how are they learning anything, Dan, here, if we got to have valet parking for them? I could go off on a tangent on that one.
We're a fairly frugal institution. We don't have a lot of frills, but what we do offer, I think, is very high quality.
Very high quality.
We have the best nursing program in the state of South Carolina, for example.
Who says so?
The very best.
Who says so?
The data.
The data?
The student performance on exams, the NCLEX exam, the placement rate, the bonuses that they get for signing with a hospital or a clinic, the talk to some people that work with our former students that are nurses and let them tell you what kind of nurses they are. The best in the state of South Carolina.
Better than USC?
Better than USC.
Whoa, boy, now there's a statement.
Better than anybody in the state.
We're the
oldest program, too, by the way.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that. Okay. So, and then, of course, we have the equestrian program. We got a lot of programs. When we come back, we are going to be talking about some of these programs. There's a film festival coming up in, when's that coming up? In April, I think, or May? April, March 30th. Coming up March 30th. You also have a peace studies program this Thursday, I believe.
It's correct.
Yep. So there's a lot of stuff going on at Lander. And, of course, I know one of the big things that you're always trying to do is get more people to come see Lander and be part of what's going on at Lander.
Well, it's a state institution. We don't have bars and fence around it. You're welcome to drive in there and stop by my office or attend a student performance free of charge.
Sure.
I think the only thing we charge for are maybe basketball and baseball. The rest of the sports are free. All of our student performances, music, theater, art are free. Wind ensemble, jazz ensemble.
There's a lot of good theater. Stuff going. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on. Yeah.
If nothing else, you can come over and have a Sunday brunch. Absolutely. You have to pay for that. It's about $10 bucks. But that is open to the public.
That's right. And that's another thing that we don't always realize when we're talking about a place to go. Hey, I tell you what, it's time for South Carolina news and a word from our sponsors. Don't you go away.
This is Philip Biffle, your Greenwood Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Do you have a recovery plan for your investments? If not, there are several reasons we think you should. While interest rates are very low, certain income strategies and investments could help increase your investment income. Also, many investment portfolios are out of balance at a time when proper investment diversification may be most critical. You also may want to review your portfolio to consider replacing lower quality investments with higher quality investments that may be at attractive prices. No one can control what the market will do next. You can, however, take advantage of investment opportunities that exist today. At the same time, it is important to be well positioned for whatever the market does tomorrow. Please call me, Philip Biffle, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Please call me, Philip Biffle, at 229-0444, or stop by my office today to develop your personalized recovery plan investment strategy. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are talking with Dr. Dan Ball. God, Dan, how long have you been here?
13 years. Lucky 13.
Lucky 13?
Yes.
And
enjoyed every minute of it.
Absolutely. And I understand that you actually are, have you moved out of the house there?
We did. We moved out, November. We moved into the other our house in November.
What's going to happen to the property there?
I wish I knew.
A problem with
There's some structural problems with the president's house, and to fix
such
those,
a beautiful house.
Ugh. To fix those is going to require some significant resources, several hundred thousand dollars, and the board is deliberating on what to do with that house. In the meantime, we're out. I asked the board. I said, "Look, I'm going to be here forever." And if I have to move out, I'll move out. But I don't want to have to move back in after it's remodeled and then another year or two move out again.
Sure.
So can I just get my own house? They said, sure.
So
that's where we are.
So you have a house that you have redone. I know.
Yes.
I've talked to Marge.
Yeah.
Several times, and yes, it was quite an ordeal.
Well, it's a beautiful old home that's been upgraded to a very, very nice facility that we're very proud of.
Absolutely.
It's over there on Stanley Avenue, right across from Laura Lander Hall. It's the old Sneed home, in case someone
remembers that.
Yes.
Well, absolutely. Yes. Well, that is terrific. I just did want to mention that because I know a lot of people kind of wondered what happened there.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that did come out in the news was that you were doing away with the physical education and exercise study program. What happened there?
Well, I don't mean to correct you, but it's our athletic training program.
Sorry.
Our physical education and our exercise science studies program are still there, going very well. The athletic training program was suspended for a couple of reasons. Number one, we were only graduating an average of about 2 students per year out of that program.
That's hard to sustain, isn't it?
It's pretty tough to sustain. Now, the bad news is that a lot of students wanted to. They came here, not a lot, but 20, 30 students would come here with the idea of majoring in athletic training.
Mm-hmm.
But after a semester or so, they changed their majors because it was very time-consuming, very intense, difficult program.
So a lot of kids didn't realize the toughness. It
That's
sounds
right.
like it, great.
It's like nursing in a way. Nursing, we graduate about 40, 50 or 60 a year out of nursing, but we have 300 students that want to be nurses.
Wow. So what's going to happen to that program? Now, you have some students that are in the program now.
Right. And we will guarantee that those students will finish from the accredited athletic training program, and it'll take 2 or 3 years. So the program will still be going for 2 or 3 years. We will not be admitting any more students to that program at this time. Hopefully, it may have a chance of being resurrected at the graduate level. At least that would be something I would consider favorably. For this reason, we have a lot of athletes that would like to take that major but cannot because of the time commitments of both, being a soccer player or a baseball player and being an athletic training major, they just, those, that's oil and water. They don't mix because of the time conflicts. So if we were at the graduate level, so when a student finished his or her undergraduate degree and finished their eligibility, they could go into a master's program in athletic training. And some schools do that now.
Okay. And you had said one of the other issues was the fact that Lander doesn't have a football team.
Well, the intensity of the time is that these students have to spend time on the practice fields and on the courts. They have to get several thousand hours of practical training in. And football is a big sport with a lot of injuries. And so if you don't have a football program, you're at a disadvantage in terms of placing students into those internships.
So that was another. You said actually some of the students go to Greenwood High, Emerald High, Abbeville.
Yeah, right, and do their training out there in the high schools.
Absolutely. So, you know, it was kind of presented as it was all a budget fall.
Well,
shortfall.
You know, budgets ebb and flow like everything else. And when you have less revenue than you expected, you look at places where you can reduce your costs. Mm-hmm. And certainly program costs are 80% of our operating costs are people. Over 80% of our budget is people. And so you have to look at people, the wise use of those people, and that just happened to be a programmatic recommendation from the vice president and the dean. Mm-hmm. And so I took their recommendation, and it saved us some dollars.
Sure.
But primarily the budget imbalance was because we budgeted for an increase in enrollment for this year and didn't get it.
Okay.
And we're going to not make that mistake again. That was the first time in 13 years we did that, and it won't happen again. We're going to budget differently for next year when we're already working on that. So we're fine, but the budget's fine.
Absolutely. Now, you know, I'm just curious because as education grows, and of course you and I were having a little discussion about the validity of a bachelor's degree when we have so many students who were just becoming technically
philosophical discussion that I love to engage
short.
In
in today's world
there's a more emphasis placed on vocational education than on academic education. In other words, I'm going to go to school so I can get a better job or I can get a job. And certainly that is a benefit of an education, but it's not the real purpose of an education. The purpose of education is not to get a better job or get a job. That's a fringe benefit. The purpose of an education is to become a better person, to become a more enlightened voter, to become a tolerant individual of differences of, suppose you didn't like the way I'm talking today, you'd at least, if you had a college degree, you might be a little more tolerant of my biases than if you didn't have. So,
don't you think it helps in critical thinking, being able to figure things out?
You got to be able to balance your checkbook.
Yeah.
Be able to make wise choices when you're buying a house or a car or getting married, perhaps,
sure.
Or where you might live.
What do you think in today, though? We have kids that are geeks at 4 years old. I mean, everybody is on a computer. What do you think that's going to mean for education and for the small personal schools like Lander futuristically?
Well, I'm a little old-fashioned, Ann, but I'm concerned a little bit about our social skills of our young people, even our adults. We do not engage in active dialogue as much as we used to. Mm-hmm. And we're isolating ourselves from each other. And I think that that's not healthy. Now, what do we do about it? You have choices. People have choices. Lander University is committed to an education whereby there is social engagement on a regular basis. And you don't wake up and attend class in your pajamas by turning on the TV or the computer screen. Now, we do have online courses. We have online courses like everybody else. We're trying to be competitive, and we are. But if you're living on our campus and you're in a residence hall and you need to take English 101, you should not. You should be required to go to the class to take English 101 rather than roll out of bed and turn your computer on. Now, that's my opinion, and I'm going to stick with it.
Do you ever make them turn off all the computers all across the campus and take their telephones and their tablets and say, now we're going to have a real conversation?
You know what? I'm glad you asked that question. The other day, a few weeks ago, I went to my senior staff at a senior staff meeting. I said, what do y'all think about just banning email for 2 weeks on this campus? Nobody can send any emails. I thought two or three of them were going to have heart attacks. And I said, well, you know, what we used to do when we didn't have email, we had to communicate. Well, we'd walk down the hall or we get on the phone.
Right.
Today, we send an email. And I just thought it was a novel idea, but we didn't do it.
You didn't do it. Well, you know, there have been places where a class has decided. I've read about these where they've decided for a week or a weekend or whatever, and the results have been interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or where a family actually has to sit down and have a meal together and talk.
What a novel idea.
Huh? What a novel idea. What an old-fashioned idea.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here with Dan Ball. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit more about things that you can get involved in over at Lander. So don't you go away. And if you got a question, don't hesitate to give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276. Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. I have Dr. Dan Ball with us here today. And, you know, one of the questions that has come in is the Sunday buffet. You pique somebody's interest with the Sunday buffet over there at Lander. Tell us a little bit more about that, Dan.
Well, we started that several years ago, actually full well knowing that our dining hall is open to the public whenever it's open. Anybody in any state of stupor, I guess, could come to have breakfast, dinner, lunch, or dinner at Lander University. So we thought it would be nice to have a special treat on Sundays, have a Sunday brunch where we have, and it's open to the public. It's like, it's less than $10. I'm not sure what it's, $8 or $9, something like that. And we have the whole spread of, we have a carving station, we have a salad bar, we have a dessert bar, we have an omelet station, we have fruit, we have
just about
pancakes,
anything you could
we
have
several kinds of meats, we have fried chicken, and you can come and have a brunch for less than $10. And it's we have an ice cream machine, as a matter of fact, and it's all you can eat. You go back and get as much as you want.
It's kind of a buffet style.
And we have 200 or 300. We have 200 or 300 people from the community about every Sunday.
Now, any idea? Would you
11 to 2.
11 to 2. Okay, there you go. I didn't know whether the president would know that or not, but 11 to 2.
Well, I get hungry, I go over there.
You go over there?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, you can have breakfast, lunch, and dinner there during the week when they're open.
Yeah, when the students are here.
Now, this week they've been on student.
Last week we were on break. We had spring break for 3 days or all week, really. So the dining hall was closed last week. So, but when students are, when the classes are in session, the dining hall's open.
Absolutely. So check that out. And, of course, where is that on campus?
It's in the Student Center. If you know where the auditorium is, it's right adjacent to the auditorium.
Absolutely. So go out there and check that out. You won't be disappointed. Now, you're starting a new program coming up this fall. It's called the Honors College. What brought that about?
Well, we've always had a group, a small group of outstanding honors students, and we felt it was time to give them some special treatment, give them some special privileges, and let them develop their own cadre of groups, study groups, etc. And so beginning this fall, we will have an honors college. There are certain admission standards to get in it. And we hope to start out with like 20 or 30 students, maybe a few more. Start small and then grow that over the years. And anybody is eligible.
Now, what is
the purpose? It's an academic program.
Okay.
Several of our students came to me and to others over the years saying we need to be more academically challenged. We need to have more opportunities. We want to have our own place to study. We want to have maybe even have a special wing in a residence hall. We haven't gotten that far yet, but we are going to have that this fall, where students will have their own special places, locations.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might consider that a little bit elitist, but you know, most good universities have honors colleges, and
sure.
So we're just going to start one.
So it's going to, I guess, elevate some visibility.
It will. It'll bring us better students, more academically talented students. It'll give us visibility that we have not had as much of as we needed.
Now, and also you will be, students will be going to some internships, like to Washington, D.C. or the Smithsonian. This is what I was reading about this.
One of the requirements of an honors college student is they'll have some additional requirements that the general student body won't have. And one will be to study away somewhere, either abroad or some other location. Chicago is quite different than Greenwood, by the way. So maybe somebody might want to study in Chicago or Minneapolis or London or Beijing, or do an internship in Washington, D.C., which we've started our internship program there this past year. So the students can pretty much carve out that special project. They will have a lot of voice in what that will be.
Absolutely. Now, you know, speaking about Beijing, and we have had, of course, Dr. Park here for a couple, 3 years
yes.
now, and he has been instrumental in bringing some cultural students from overseas to here. I just heard you're going to have, a group from Thailand here.
We're going to have 22 professionals, ages 30 to 50-some years old, come to Greenwood and Lander. They'll be here tonight. And they'll stay here in Greenwood for a month. And they'll be living with host families in the community, learning about our educational system in this country and specifically at Lander. There'll be 22 of them. They're paying their own way. The host families will actually receive payment from these professionals to stay in their homes. They really want to meet American families to find out what goes on in the American family as well as the educational system that we have. So we're excited about that, the first time that's ever happened. Last summer, we had a group of Korean professionals here. We'll probably have another group this summer. And those are all the results of Dr. Sun J. Park's work for us for the past 2 years.
And you have quite a few students from Korea and China that are studying over here.
We have about 30 Asian students, mostly from China and Korea. Studying, most of them are on a study abroad, 1 year program. Some are on one semester. Many are on full 4 year programs. They're coming here. Like we have 5 Chinese students that are freshmen. They'll be here for 4 years.
We hope
to have another additional 5 for next fall. So then in 2 years, we'll have 10.
You've gone outside the country to get students, right?
Well, listen. The culture of our campus is always enriched when you can bring in different cultures from around the world. This is a global economy today, and if we have Asian students here to help our South Carolinians learn a little bit more about them, and vice versa, that benefits everybody. It's a global world, and we need to get into it, and we have at Lander.
Now, how about students going and spending semesters in Korea or in China? How's that working?
It's working out very well. We have a cadre over there right now. Every semester we've had a few students. In the summer we have a larger group of students going over spending a month or 6 weeks. We have 2 of our academic deans over there left this morning to go to China and Korea.
Dr. Dave Slimmer.
Slimmer,
I talked to him on
Dr.
Saturday.
Dr. Slimmer. And, of course, there's a little bit of anxiety going to Korea with the North Korean saber rattling over there, but you know, our State Department will take care of. We got a lot of soldiers.
They're going to South Korea, right?
Yeah, South Korea.
South Korea. Yeah. And after all, if Dennis Rodman can go over there and wow, wow him.
He went to North Korea.
I know, but maybe, maybe some of our professors can do something. But what about the students going over there and staying a semester or so?
Well, they have told me almost to the person that's been a life changing experience. They had no idea of the. Experience would be what it was, and we have kids that are working over there now. They've taken jobs Korea and Thailand, teaching English and doing other things over there.
Students,
our former students are working over there right now, and we've only had this program for a little over 2 years.
Yeah, that's terrific.
It is.
And how about, you know, you and I were talking earlier, there seems to be geographical areas that students like to go to.
Well, you know, and again, it's a provincial culture issue. American students, for the most part, like to study abroad, right, in the past at least, in Europe or South America. They've been fearful of going to Asia. We are breaking that barrier down at Lander, and we are having a lot more American students go to study and work in Asia. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side of the globe, the Asian students all want to come to the United States. Very few European students want to come to the United States. Those are cultural differences. Why? That's just the way it's been.
Interesting.
So we have a lot of Asian students wanting to come study here. We are getting more American students wanting to go to Asia, but not nearly so much as many as we would like.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? We are almost out of time. As always, it's always a pleasure to sit down and really have a real talking discussion right here on the radio.
Well, thank you for inviting me, and I'm happy to come back whenever you feel the need.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, we have been here with Dr. Daniel Ball, and we are going to take 2 minutes here. I'm going to give the ID, and we are going to give 2 minutes for one program that we haven't talked about that we need to talk about. You are listening right here on WCRS right here in Greenwood. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, this is Meet Me at the Diner. The news will be there at 6 o'clock, so how about we just spend a few minutes talking about the docent program for some of our seniors out there that would like to get involved and help out over there at Lander. Let's talk a little bit about that.
And I'm glad you mentioned that program. It started probably 6 or 8 years, maybe a little longer ago, at the suggestion of a good friend of ours, yours and mine, Mr. Jeff Eller. Some of you may know Jeff. He said, why don't you start a docent program at Lander? And I said, what in the world is that? And he explained to me that docents are kind of white-collar volunteers that come to a campus or to a library or a hospital that have had some professional experience. They've been engineers and doctors and business leaders, CEOs, politicians, retired professors that still want to contribute to the life of a community through their young. And so we started a docent program at the request of Mr. Jeff Eller. We started with 12 docents. They come to our campus. They can do whatever they want to do, however long they want to do it, and where they want to do it. And we interview each docent and select them. They're not automatically given a docent slot. And we have now 60 docents. They work in a financial aid office. They work in the chemistry labs. They work in a multimedia center. They work in the radio station. They work in the computer technology center. They work in athletics. One of them works in my office. And
what has it meant to Lander to have this program?
Well, we're addicted to them. That's what it's meant. These are wonderful people. We have a lot of retirees here in the Greenwood area, and a lot of these folks have come to us and said, what can we do to help you? And we said, well, we have this docent program, and that's how we've recruited them. They actually bring themselves to the campus.
They save you a lot of money, don't
well,
they?
Well, we're addicted to them. I think,
because
yes,
of the money,
they
yes.
do. They do a lot of things for our students that we would have to otherwise pay for.
Right. So if you are a person that is sitting out there thinking, I would like to do something, you can get involved at the campus, whether, as you said, working in financial aid, working in all these different departments, lots of possibilities.
We have docents that work 1 hour a week. We have docents that work 5 hours a week. We have docents that work 30 hours a week. We have some only work once or twice a month.
Sure.
We have them when we have special programs. We have ushers for our young children that come. We have a lot. We have 6,000 or 8,000 elementary and secondary kids come to our campus each year for various performances.
They have to be ushered in and out.
Our docents help with that.
Isn't Dr. DeWitt Stone?
Dr. DeWitt Stone has really been, he's been instrumental in our Honors College development and also our study abroad. He's, by the way, a great-grandson of Sam Lander. And so he's kind of like a little sidekick of mine that I keep around. He's pretty handy. He's an engineer. He's a PhD engineer. Used to be in charge of facilities at Clemson.
Right.
So I keep him around for advice, and he's just a wonderful gentleman that loves Lander probably as much as his grandfather did, his great-grandfather.
Absolutely. Well, I just wanted to mention that program. Now, if somebody wants to call or
just call Lander anywhere. Call my office, call admissions office. Somebody will get you to the
right. What's the general number for Lander?
388-8000.
388-8000. Give them a call. Find out about the programs. Go there for Sunday brunch. Go there when you're said to yourself 1,000 times, where am I going to go for lunch today? Where am I going to go for dinner? Check out their check out that program and drop by Lander. You'll find a lot of wonderful things over there. Thank you so much, Dr. Dan Ball.
My pleasure.
All righty. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.